Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, thank you for joining us for Everything Under the Sun, the AccuWeather podcast. I'm your host, meteorologist Regina Miller. I'm joined in the studio now by Andy Robb, my producer, and also Paul Pastelak, who does our long-range forecasting here at the AccuWeather Network. So, Andy, we're pretty excited to have Paul in here. He's always a great guest.
Always great to have him in. And, of course, summertime.
Are you really?
Right around.
Are
you faking this? Are you faking this like we did off the off
hey,
air?
Hey, since you were sitting in here listening, we were, like, really trying to, like, gear it up. Like, oh, we love Paul. Paul's our favorite guy.
This is, like, your 15th appearance on the show. So
we keep having you back.
So you're all right.
See, I can't remember anything. That's why I have to bring my cheat sheet for last year.
Last year.
I can't remember what I did last week.
So, yeah, summer right around the corner, and AccuWeather's 2019 summer forecast is now available. So Paul's here, and he's going to talk about it.
Right. It's my favorite forecast. I love the summer. Well, because it's summer.
So
I
you're
love
a warm
summer.
Person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Love the warm weather. Now, last year, it was like tropical. Mm-hmm. It was like too hot in the Northeast and too wet because it was just raining all the time. But you know what, Paul, before we jump into this year's summer forecast, can we talk a little bit about some of the anomalies from last year's forecast?
Yeah, the thing about last year is that if you look at the actual readings, the departures that ended up at for the 3 month, June through August, in the east, they weren't very high. They were just slightly above normal in a lot of spots to near normal. But it was the nights that were so warm that people were using incredible amounts of cooling devices. Your fans and your air conditions were on constantly throughout the night. So there's a lot of energy use last year from the Tennessee Valley, Ohio Valley, into the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. In fact, just an example, Atlanta had 115 days above 70 degrees, and they normally are around 73 for the summer season. So, I mean, they were way above, and so that just gives you an idea of how much energy you use. So it was just the muggy conditions, the cloudy conditions, the wet weather that just basically kept those nighttime lows up. So it felt kind of sticky throughout the summer. Given that kind of perception that it was a really warm summer, for some it wasn't when you look at the numbers.
Well, and I think that's the thing about it. It was like, it was soupy. Like, I don't remember a lot of days where it was like sunshine, nice, and that kind of heat.
Yeah.
It was that sticky, muggy kind of, and that led to really high rainfall amounts in many locations.
It did. Right? It did. We had a good setup from the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic both combined to just continue to bring in the moisture that continued from the spring season all the way into the summer. I mean, I mean, it was like every other day we had rain up here in State College. And so it was tough to plan things. It was tough to do things outside, or at least even your vacations. But for us, we have a pool. So we were in the pool. It was so soupy. We stayed in the pool all the time. We just got that 15, 20-minute window. We got in before the thunderstorm hit, and then we got out. That's basically how we did it. So so it was kind of pluses and minuses, I think, on the summer season last year.
Right. Now, what are we looking at for this summer? First off, before we get into it, tell me about some of the components that are going to be affecting this pattern what the pattern is going to be, I should say, for the upcoming summer season.
Well, the main component is how much wetness we've seen so far this spring in the middle of the nation. We've had flooding, lots of rain, thunderstorms. The severe weather totals have just continued to add up. I think the preliminary report for tornadoes in April was 277 or 265, somewhere in that area. That's pretty high. So that wet weather will kind of hold back long, prolonged extreme temperatures in the middle of the nation, we feel. But on the outer ends, we do think it's going to actually run above normal, the east and the northwest. So the periphery, you know, around that, kind of draw a circle
well,
in the middle.
Well, I think of the omega, you know, like when you think about the omega pattern or where you have like, if you got the ridge in the west and maybe the ridge in the east. And
well, that's the thing too, Regina. We're not looking for a high pronounced ridge in the middle of the nation, which you typically get, the Great Plains higher. And
right.
It's actually going to be more shifting. We're going to see a little bit of that in western Canada. We're going to see it down in southwest in New Mexico, in Mexico, but not centered too much over the plains.
Right, it's
states.
Like inverted.
Exactly.
It's
so,
like inverted.
So we're looking at some different things going on here this year that I think that, you know, for some, you know, maybe, you know, it's going to be okay if it's not too extremely hot in like a place like Dallas. More people will be outside and doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. The only thing is how wet is it going to be? It could be wet, pretty wet early on. And then for the Northeast, last year, not as hot. We didn't get many dry days. We're going to probably see a little bit more of that. I think finally once we get past May, we'll start to get some string of drier days put together, and then people will be able to enjoy the summer season, unlike last year, was pretty tough planning your vacations.
Right, it was. And then just mowing the lawn. You had to do it like every other day.
I was so exhausted by October. I mean, I was like, I don't want to even see this thing. I hope it comes out late. And it did. It came out late this year. We were like 3 weeks late in cutting the lawn here. So.
Yeah, right.
But, I was done.
Yeah.
My lawnmower went through repairs like crazy last year.
I know,
too.
And it was like muddy. They get stuck in the muck. So in the Northeast, you're saying we're going to have more occasions of maybe some dry, sunny weather. What about the Southeast?
The Southeast, it's different, too. The Carolinas were pretty wet last year. I think they're a little bit drier this year and a little bit hotter as well. It's west of there, as you get into Tennessee, Mississippi, maybe Alabama as well. They'll have to deal with still some persistent showers and thunderstorms, at least in the first half of the season. And then you got to watch the tropics, of course, as you get into August and early September. But at this point, I think the Carolinas are looking a little bit better this summer. I'm not looking for a dry drought, full-fledged or anything
right,
like that.
Right, just improvements compared
improvement.
To last year.
Exactly.
And, you know, even as we're sitting down having this conversation, we've got significant storms and heavy rainfall, Texas, Oklahoma this week, up into Mississippi, you know, northern Mississippi rivers, you know, the flooding and everything there. So kind of where that is, that setup is also the area you're concerned about.
Yeah, here's a couple things to note about this. Upper-level systems, they tend to start easing back as you get into the summer season. We think that's actually going to linger a little longer in June. And if you notice, we haven't had a lot of severe weather in Tornado Alley over the past several years. It's been in the news about how it's shifted. There's some ideas that it may be shifting into a new direction. But this year, so far, we're starting to see more action in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. A lot of it is because the pattern's very sluggish to change.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if we don't have a big high developing in the plains and these upper lows keep coming in, the severe weather threat's going to continue in that area, and that's where we're kind of focusing on. Another thing, too, is we had some late-season snow in the parts of the Four Corners region.
Mm-hmm.
There's a correlation factor there that when it's pretty wet, the upper high doesn't develop very well in the plain states, and that kind of hurts the monsoonal setup for August and September. So we may see it wet early on in the summer, but maybe less wet, believe it or not,
later
in the season. I mean, not dry,
right?
But it may not be your typical deluge that we would see in the interior southwest later. So they may get some summer later in the summer. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little more concerned about California, Nevada with tropical moisture, but you know, New Mexico, Colorado, maybe their summer's coming in the second half.
And the Pacific Northwest, what are you thinking specifically there?
That's where we're kind of higher confidence on, because we do feel that it's going to dry out and get hotter there.
It was like that last summer.
Yes, and there's an area of long-term drought that kind of hung on a little longer, even though we got hit pretty good here this past winter and spring. A little piece kind of hung on in parts of Oregon and Washington, and I think that will intensify that drought area as we get into later into the summer months. And then fire season. I mean, it's hard to predict fire seasons and where the fires are going to be, but that's a more susceptible area to get hit, I think, going into the latter part of the season, because I think it is going to be drier and hotter. And they did have some growth there from, you know, the moisture that came in over the winter and spring.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that it was dry and hot there last summer contributes at all to them being drier and hotter this summer?
Just if you can't erase it all, and there's a spot east of the Cascades that didn't get hit as hard this past winter and spring, a lot of times that you just can never get out of that funk. We saw that in California for 5-6 years. Now, in the contrast, California, there's no drought in the, in the state right now, which is unusual for this time of the year, seeing that because we haven't seen that in a while. And so they're looking pretty good. But, of course, they've been missing out on some of these upper-level lows. They haven't been as strong there. The moisture has been farther east. Mm-hmm. So they're drying out. It doesn't take much. So we're not saying that they can't have any fires this year, but it may be a little different season than we've seen in the past few years.
Okay. And then with the central U.S. and the concern about the rain and severe weather kind of lingering longer into the start of summer.
Yes.
What about late summer there?
Well, I hope I hope it's better because
we all sit here with our fingers
crossed. Well, I'm really concerned about the planting in some of these places like in Iowa and Illinois
right
now.
Yeah, they cannot. Oh, my gosh, they can't get into the fields.
The fields are pretty bad. Now, these guys are miracle workers. I mean, they'll find a way to get things done.
As soon as they get a window.
Yeah, they get a window, they're on it. But I still think they're going to have some problems. And I think the second half, it improves a little bit, but I don't think it's great. I still think it's coolish and unsettled still into July as well. So compared to normal. So I think they still got, it's not going to be a completely dry there. Now, far northern plains, there's a chance that some dry air may come in from Canada and affect, you know, North Dakota. They didn't get as hit as hard as South Dakota did. It was a big contrast there. So there may be some, you know, some dryness there, but other than that, I think it's still kind of back and forth in the plain, in the Midwestern plains.
All right. Well, thanks so much for breaking it down for us, Paul. We always appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here. I love coming here. Great.
Yeah,
Keep inviting me, Andy.
Go ahead. Compliment him, Andy. We like that Andy always gives compliments to everyone.
Paul, you're fantastic.
He's our Pollyanna.
I want it real. I want to hear it sound real,
it's
not
be
fake.
Sincere.
Sincere,
because if you
real,
tell us all we're fantastic, we're never going
to
believe it.
Don't put the radio voice on. Give it to me real.
You don't want to hear my real voice. And, of course, you can find the full 2019 summer forecast available right now on AccuWeather.com. And I'm sure we're going to have you back in sometime soon.
Well, yeah, if it's going well, you can have me back soon, all right?
If none of it worked out, then we'll call you back
in
and say, Paul, what happened?
I'll be in hiding if it's going the other way.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks. And be sure to tune in next week because we are going to be talking to our meteorologist, Dan Kudlowski. He's our hurricane expert, and we're going to get the 2019 hurricane forecast. And not only that, we'll be talking to Chris Homan. He's the chief meteorologist at WTVD in Raleigh-Durham, and that's an area, obviously, that can be impacted by hurricanes. So we'll be talking to him about his expertise and his experience dealing with hurricanes in that area.
That's right. And before we get out of here for this week, of course, May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. So we're going to find out how you can keep yourself prepared and safe from melanoma with this week's AccuWeather Ready.
May is the beginning of nice weather each year. Snow's pretty much gone, flowers are starting to bloom, and people begin to enjoy more outdoor activities. But tempting though it may be to spend a lot of time outside, too much time in the sun can be dangerous. May is also Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Skin cancer, defined by the fact that it starts on the skin, is more common in the United States than all other human cancers combined. Initially, skin cancer is not symptomatic, meaning spots on the skin won't necessarily itch or hurt. There are many different types of skin cancer, but the three most common include basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and melanoma. Basal cell carcinoma is the most common type of skin cancer, with an estimated 2 to 4 million cases in the United States each year, and is easiest to treat. The second most common type of skin cancer is squamous cell carcinoma, which occurs in approximately 1 million people in the U.S. per year. It also tends to not spread. Melanoma is the least common of the three types, but appears in over 90,000 people in the U.S. every year, killing about 9,000 people. Though less common, melanoma is more aggressive and deadly than any other type of skin cancer and does spread. Skin cancer is easily treated by surgical removal if detected early, even with melanoma. People who are fair-skinned, blonde, or red-haired, freckled, or have a family history of melanoma are encouraged to visit a dermatologist yearly. Everyone should check their own skin at least once a month for moles and other marks and spots using the 5-step ABCDE system. If any of these things are true, go see a dermatologist. A is for asymmetry. Picture slicing the spot in half, and if the two sides don't look symmetrical, go to a dermatologist. B is for border. If the border of a spot is jagged, scalloped, or irregular, go to a dermatologist. C is for color. If the spot has more than one shade of brown in it, go see a dermatologist. D is for diameter. If the spot is larger than a pencil eraser size, 6 millimeters, go see a dermatologist. And E is for evolution. If the spot evolves over time, changing in size, shape, or color, go see a dermatologist. To minimize cancer risk, minimize your exposure to the sun, use SPF when you're out in the sun, and wear hats or other protective clothing when you are outside. And remember, protection from the sun is a year-round matter, not just in May. For more safety and preparedness tips, go to AccuWeather.com/ready. For AccuWeather, I'm Holly Holdren.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to AccuWeather's Everything Under the Sun, giving you the stories behind the weather and so much more. New episodes every Thursday. Just search for AccuWeather on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or visit AccuWeather.com/podcast.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.